broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Comedian Heather McMahon and I break up our winter blues with what we are loving and hating in pop culture. We're talking slimy ex-house husbands and dropping names like Omarosa, Drake, and Kathy Griffin. Fergie's national anthem creates waves, and I can't with Love After Lockup. Have a laugh right here. Let the ranting begin. Hello, I am joined by comedian and actress Heather McMahon. Back to the show.
Hello, hello. I'm so happy to be here. It's been a hot second, but great. Good to see you again,
good
honey.
Good to see you. It's been a long time. I haven't seen you since episode number 15.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know.
It's 84, so.
We're doing it. Yeah.
We're making it happen.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, after you were here, I know you relocated and, you know, you're still working and pounding the pavement more than ever. I know.
Hustling hard, but I'm in Atlanta right now because everything shoots there. So I'm from there, kind of taking advantage of being a big fish in a small pond, you know, doing what we got to do.
There you go. And now you're back here taking some meetings, hanging out.
Oh, yeah. Doing the typical LA thing. You'll love this. I went to a meeting last Friday and they were, you know, in the office, this particular office, they had all these crystals. So, of course, I made a joke about it. I'm like, what's the deal with all these damn crystals? And literally before I left, one of the girls was like, here's a crystal. I want you to take it, put it in the sun and let it absorb all of your good energy. And I was like, only in LA would you leave a meeting with crystals. You know what I mean?
This is where I'm at. The good energy.
Right, right.
For you to absorb, for the crystal to absorb.
I don't exactly know how it works. There were a lot of questions, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and put this in my pocket and keep on trucking.
You know, I'm evolving into all that too. I'm gravitating towards these places that do different types of meditation and different types of yoga. And I'm so into it. I'm so excited to discover new places where 5 years ago, I wouldn't have even acknowledged it. So it's strange.
Well, I really wanted to take the crystal and like make a really dark joke and be like, if I hold this like long enough, will it bring my dead father back? And then I was like, this is gonna shake her to her core.
Yeah, people like that can't.
I find it funny, but I was like, if she's holding on to crystals, then she's definitely not gonna get a dead dad joke. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna put it in my pocket and walk out.
Smart.
Yeah. But on that note, I'm glad to be back. Oh, let's gossip.
Yes.
Right?
Well, prepare to laugh, people listening, because it's gonna be a great show. And I'm so happy to have Heather back on the show. It's been, like we said, a while. So it's been a long time coming. Glad to do it. Now, usually this episode is our love it, hate it panel, where we have a panel of folks talking about what they're loving and hating in pop culture.
Yeah.
But with Heather and I, we have enough opinions to fill a room.
Oh, you better believe it.
So
I'm throwing all the shade, so you better close the curtains because it's about to go down.
All right, let's do it.
Let's get into it.
So we're going to do a little speed round of things. So booed up, broken up, and shaked up. Sure, stupid, but why not? Let's talk about it. So booed up, Shannon Bedore of Real Housewives of OC, her future ex-husband, David, is now in a relationship and tweeting and using on Instagram the hashtag not a secret anymore.
Okay, this shook me to my core. I go up and down with Shannon. Like, I feel like she's a crystal kind of girl. You know, she's about a feng shui shit. And I'm kind of like, hey, you got to feng shui like your marriage first, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't like David, though. The moment I saw him on like the first season or when she was on, I was like, nope, creepy. There's something. He's dead behind the eyes. I don't like it. So I love that he's now out with the girl that he actually like was cheating on her with.
Basically,
one of them. It's just gross. It's like, okay, we get it. You have kids. Like, hashtag not a secret anymore. Hashtag, you're still a douche. I'm sorry. That's how I feel about it.
A grown man of a certain age with children using hashtags like passive aggressively that he's not, that it's not a secret that he's sleeping around.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
He's probably in his mid 50s. You shouldn't probably be on Instagram in the first place. That's not throwing shade at an older generation. I'm just saying with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, come on. This is...
Yeah, that's something you should keep a secret for your own kids. It's selfish.
Yeah.
And this is something we're going to get into later about these selfish people. We're going to talk about a few shows coming up, and I have a lot to say about this. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about a reality show on WeTV.
Oh.
Love and Lockup, whatever it is.
We'll get into it.
We're going to get into it, yes. So just a little teaser for you. Someone else is booed up. Amy Schumer secretly married a chef. Okay.
Okay. I know. I saw the photos of their Malibu wedding that happened, last Wednesday?
Yeah.
And here's my thought. One, I was like, oh, God, it's kind of inconvenient to invite people to a wedding on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sure. Great. I don't know.
It was just out of nowhere. There wasn't any lead up to it. She, a guest list include everyone from Jennifer Lawrence to David Spade.
Oh. You know, and it was very small. Like, even though she had a bunch of A-listers, from the photos, it literally looked like there was maybe 40 people there.
Wow.
Very, yeah. very small.
Yeah.
I mean, look, good for her. The way I feel about it, when people know, you know. But I don't know. I'm just like, great. All right. You know.
Yeah.
It had me excited, yeah. but sure. I don't know.
Jennifer Aniston was in attendance, and that leads us into breakups.
Heartbreak.
Jennifer Aniston, they're blaming, it's like the real reason why right. Justin and Angie and right. Jennifer are broken up is because right. they want to live on separate coasts.
Right.
Like, I'm sure that was really
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, and a source told People Magazine, quote, they are very different people. What the hell does that mean?
Of course. Don't opposites attract? Like, we're very different yeah. people.
This is a load of crap.
She's a Taurus. I'm a Gemini. Like, okay.
Well, yeah, that does not... I am a Gemini. That does not work.
Right. Yes. I, side note, I don't trust Tauruses either. I'm a Pisces, but every Taurus I've ever met, I've been like, there's some... We just don't click. But
right.
yes.
Right.
But on that note, you know, okay, here's the thing. I feel like Justin and Jennifer never really matched in the first place. Like, you know when couples get together and you're like, they look good together? Mm-hmm. I just... There's something about it. I feel like Jen's probably like, ugh, I just did this. I mean, they were engaged for like 3 years, yeah. weren't they?
I forgot she was even married because right. she's not on my radar, and I'm just yeah. so used to the covers, the Us Weeklies, Jen's yeah. sad goodbye, yeah. you know, right, all right, these right. things. So, yeah, not a huge surprise there. Another breakup, Peggy Sulahian is breaking up with the OC Housewives, or they're breaking up with her, let's be real.
Right.
And
bless her. That whole story, the arc of her story with the cancer, it was... as somebody who's, I've actually lost my father to cancer, I'm very sensitive about that stuff. And I was just watching it being like, you know, Bravo, I'm almost kind of grossed out that this is like still, we're trying to make this an arc of her story. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess it was touching some people, but then when Peggy was just like shut down about it, like, I didn't feel like the audience gained anything from this. Do
yes.
you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. She just was not the best fit for the Housewives.
What needs to happen is it needs to be less about all these productions and yeah. castings. Because
yeah.
when you lock someone in and you're like, okay, we're paying you this much, you're a full-time housewife and all this stuff, and then they don't deliver,
yeah.
then it holds the season hostage and it's horrible. What
right.
you need to do is, and they did this on New York, but they need to do it like week-long or like a couple weeks. That way, if you just phase out, you just phase out. It's a natural
right.
occurrence in a friend group.
Right, right.
So in that way, we don't have to sit through this. It was obvious she wasn't working. It was obvious they were doing whatever they could to push her on people.
Right.
And, you know, now she joins Lydia and the other one, Megan, on their way out. So that needed to happen. I'm glad to see that they didn't hold on to people because they didn't want to shake it up too much. I'm glad
right.
they know they have to do this.
I mean, look, I am a loyal fan to OC, but the reason why I tune in is for Vicki Gunvalson. That's the number
really?
One reason why yeah. I tune in to hear her whoop it up and act like a hot damn mess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I
love her for it. And I don't even really like her, but I need
right.
her on the show.
Right. Like, I know she'd probably be like a terrible person in real
life,
but I live
I've
for
heard,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, no big deal there. Bye, three of you.
Yeah.
But goodbye.
See ya.
Yeah. Shakeups, we'll say this. This is all coming out of Page Six, by the way. Piers Morgan, remember him?
Yeah. Yes.
Ugh.
I know where we're about to go with this, with the Omarosa thing, but I'm like, you know what? Sometimes with him, I feel like he's almost cattier than a woman. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He loves to stir the pot in a very, like, he's a very respected journalist. That's like the note he always takes where he's like, I'm a respected journalist. But I'm like, you're also really super catty. And like, I feel like this is like the Mean Girls Club sometimes with him.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of YouTube videos of him, and it's always him playing on people and
yeah.
you know, really wanting to get that shock value. Now he's banned from the States, I guess, because he's doing the morning show in the UK.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know, you know.
I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, who knows? Who cares? You mentioned Omarosa. He claims that Omarosa offered to have sex with him while on the set of Celebrity Apprentice. This is going back to 2008. Now, this is when you're reaching.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
This is like, really, like, seriously, we're going back this far.
Right.
Not only that, but when she was on All Stars in 2013, he was a guest boss or whatever it was, one of the people
right.
at the end. So this isn't even like the most recent time they're both on the show.
Right.
So it really is going back. And then apparently she used homophobic slurs against him after he denied her advances.
Right. So basically he said, no, I don't want to hook up with you on the show. And then she's like, oh, so what are you, gay? Like,
yeah.
Okay, I'm not an Omarosa fan politically or any of that, but I find it kind of hard. I mean, she's still a... Well, no, she's a nut job, but she still, I feel like, has a little bit of tact. I just don't see this conversation happening. Yeah. Now, if it did, that's really shady on her part. But do you believe this? I don't know what I feel about this.
It's all how it was interpreted. Yeah, I think it was interpreted that way. She probably was making it a crude joke.
Right.
And she was probably playing on him, knowing that he's a complete joke and jackass. Right. And she's like, oh, you want to sleep with me? You want to get together? But there were, like, and they talked about this on Celebrity Big Brother, there were rumors that different celebrities would sleep with Donald on the set of that show. Nothing would surprise me from
that
set.
Wait, who were the celebrities? How did I miss this?
Well, they didn't say names. They didn't say names.
Who do you think?
I don't
know. Was Janice Dickinson on there? She was, wasn't she?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, yeah. She's done them all, yeah.
Speaking of which,
meaning all the shows.
Right, right. Speaking of which, my friend just took a Pilates class with her in Beverly Hills the other day, and I get a text. He's like, you're never going to believe who I'm like sweating to the oldies with right now, Janice Dickinson. I was like, I would pay my life savings to be in a Pilates class with her. Like, I just want to, like, take it all in, you know?
I just imagine her, like, pasty white, just, like, stuck on the floor. Yeah, not a stitch of makeup.
Sweating
just, like,
gin,
a mess.
Too, you know? Yeah.
I'm surprised she's not on Celebrity Big Brother. I've called her as a name what they should put on.
Yeah.
She'll do it.
Right.
Why not? And I would be interested to see her dynamic with someone like Omarosa and all that.
Right.
But, you know. Anyway, what else? So it was published. All this stuff was published. These allegations against Omarosa for being homophobic. It's all while she's on lockdown. So she can't defend herself.
Right.
So that's even more of a bitch move.
Right.
Well, you know, Omarosa is in the press. Her shows, the Celebrity Big Brother is all over the world right now in different countries. So it's just him riding her coattails, which is really gross.
Right.
Yeah, but not surprising, not a shock.
Right.
You know, he's not even here in the States to work anymore. He needs to go, and I'm still waiting for the other one star to kind of fade, Dr. Drew. He's done the gambit too.
Dr. Drew, are we really helping people anymore? Like, I don't even.
At least Dr. Phil, when no one's fooled, they know he's not doing shit.
Right. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of over the whole, like, I love it. It's to watch, like, an A&E intervention. And it's usually when I'm hungover and I'm like, okay, it's, like, really, like, it sort of makes me feel better about myself, which I know is, like, super shady.
No.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Dr. Phil, at least we know what we're getting. Nothing.
Literally nothing.
And he's making,
he almost makes more, I think he makes more than Judge Judy.
Oh, I would hope
I heard a rumor, we need to Google it. I think he makes like $80 million a year.
Maybe combined with that Bird Street books, and he's got a producer credit
right.
on The Doctors, maybe combined.
Right.
And she's just doing that.
Right.
Which is like amazing in of and of itself. That would make me really sick. I have been a fan of Dr. Phil ever.
No.
What else? Another shakeup over in New York. Luann De Lesseps, ex-husband Tom. Now he's under investigation.
This shakes me to my core, my deep core. When she got wasted over Christmas and got arrested because of the whole, when she got blackout threatening the cop, like, I just know, like, I put myself in her shoes. I was like, she was in such a dark place.
Yeah.
Back at the Breakers in Palm Beach where the wedding was. I mean, the marriage lasted what, like 3 months?
Seven, I think, at most.
Oh, 7 months, yeah.
And that was from marriage to divorce. Like,
my gosh. Luann, my heart broke for her on this one because everyone was like, Tom's like the worst. Everyone on the show was like, no. What are the new allegations with her ex-husband?
Ooh, well, they're minimal at best, but at a Palm Beach restaurant, he was with a new girlfriend. Now, here's my question. Who's going to date Tom? What's the point?
Yeah. At what point are you like, oh, that's the guy, gotta have him? It's like with the Bedore. Oh, you're going for him?
What do you expect is going to happen
in
that relationship? It's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
Especially with Tom. He's not going to marry you. I don't get it. But I guess there's someone for everybody.
And Tom is not even cute. It was just, oh, God. Yeah.
No, you don't like the bald head.
No.
No. Well, he ran into a business rival. And I'm like, what is this, The Young and the Restless? Like, he's literally running into a business rival.
This is
this
West
article.
Side Story. Yeah. Like, this is
classic Page Six. Ran into a business rival at a restaurant in Palm Beach with a new girlfriend. And the rival approached the girlfriend. And then they threw drinks at each other.
Threw drinks. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, this is what we're at.
Like, and so I'm throwing my Aperol spritz right all over your Hermes, like, sweater. Like, come on.
The whole thing is just, that's what you're going to do. You're not going to get in a real fight. Like, you're just going to throw drinks. And what are they investigating? Like, the liquor on the floor?
Right.
Did it happen or what?
Right. Whether he like walked out on his tab. Okay, I'm sure he like fixed it.
So Luann now has rejected a plea deal. This is the current status as of now. She's rejected a plea deal and her lawyer signed for a speedy trial. So again, Page Six will make an article of anything. They're like, Luann reaches points with her trial, and it's literally this.
Right.
It's like, okay, so she rejected a plea deal and we're not at the trial yet, but it's going to be speedy. Sure.
Sure, great. But we have actually no, like, real legal information about what's happening.
No, no.
So the charges against her, was it battery towards a cop? Was it drunk in public? My sister's a criminal defense attorney,
we
so I was like,
on the show. Yeah.
I was like, please break it down. But, I feel like...
There were several. There were, like, I think three charges against her, and it was like, you know, it was all that. It was like the intoxication and the intent to hurt and all that, whatever.
I mean, I feel like if you're a Palm Beach cop, aren't you going to be like, this woman was wasted? I mean, not that you should ever threaten anybody, but I just feel like, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I've talked about it. With her, I kind of feel bad for her. Obviously, she's in a dark place, and I'm sure she regrets it, and it's a terrible look. And not only that, but it's going to play out on the show, which I can't wait.
I can't wait for that.
But, I mean, and you know, she's got kids.
Yeah.
You know, so I just, like, think about that. But she'll be fine. Who are we kidding? You know? She'll be fine. Someone who may not be, but I think will be, Kathy Griffin.
Oh, this one really stresses me out.
Yeah.
So she's always been a huge, huge Kathy fan.
Me too. I fell out just because I was just so charged up by the press conference.
Right.
And now I've warmed up a little bit more.
Right.
I read the Hollywood Reporter article.
Right.
I was honest. It was like, you know, a comedian in exile in a Bel Air mansion. That was like the headline on the cover. I'm like, okay, I have to read this.
Gotta read it now. Right.
Yeah. So I like took one of the executives that went at work, one of the executives, Hollywood Reporters, and I read through the whole thing. So she was at the 2018 Writers Guild Awards as a presenter, not televised.
Right.
But this was her first red carpet since May. And she came out and said, it's me, Kathy Griffin. I got a haircut and lost my career in a day. Hi. I just want to thank all the powerful writers and showrunners in this room for effing no support. Where the F have you been? I was supposed to thank everyone for their support and no one lifted their finger. Is she beating a dead horse?
Ooh.
Or does she have a point?
That one's tricky because, the whole... the whole thing with the Trump's dead head, it's just, I felt like it was, I get the point that she was trying to say, but it is just, when you do something like that, you can't be shocked when somebody threatens your family. There are crazy mm-hmm. people everywhere, and it's still the president of the United States. And while we are all up in arms and disagree and do not stand for anything he stands for, it's still just a very, I don't know, the way it was done, it made me like, oh God, like immediately what I first thought of, not even about my own beliefs, I thought of like, oh, if I was her family, I'd be terrified.
Right.
Because, you know, so I don't know. And then,
you know, that brings me back to when I first saw
it. It was a safety issue, if anything.
When I first saw it, I was like, ooh, I was like, who the hell made that choice?
Right.
I'm surprised that even made it out there.
Right.
You know, I wasn't surprised that she took it, but I was surprised that somebody on her team.
Okay, it was like, I'm going to post it.
Yeah. That I was surprised. Because, you know, we've been to some of these shoots. You know, not everything is out there on the gram and you know, promotional and all that. I mean, they take hundreds of photos and not even every look is used. So this was really surprising that it made it, and it even made me stop. But I was like, well, it's Kathy. You know, I don't agree with it, but, you know, I didn't give it any stock. I never thought that here we would be, you know, almost like way over 6 months later, and she's still on the outs. I hated that she didn't have a system behind her, like a network or anyone that protected her. But,
to the point of whether or not she should have said anything and, like, called out all these showrunners and writers.
Yeah.
In a way, I mean, if she feels such conviction to be like, none of you guys came behind me. You know, I took a loud stance. And it's very interesting, like, especially in Hollywood now, of course, everyone is so, so, so anti-Trump. And I just feel like, did she have a point being like, you know, screw you guys, where were you? You know, good for her for being ballsy. She's been ballsy since day one. So I think this is just par for the course for her. I would have loved to have been in the room and felt that energy, though.
Like, laughter.
Yeah, what was the response to that? Yeah. I mean, was she saying it in a joking manner? But, you know, and she's had a rough go of it. Right after the whole Trump thing, she lost her sister to cancer, too. So I feel like she's probably just having one of those real, almost like out-of-body experiences where it's like, oh my God, this is really all happening.
Yeah.
So
I think it's really affecting her psychologically. It's different when I see her speak and stuff. She's just not as sharp as she was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she can get back to that, but she needs some time The article in the Hollywood Reporter talked about how she's been friends with J.J. Abrams. I guess she was his teacher at Groundlings.
Right.
So she's, you know, in conversations. And the minute she makes money for someone, I've said this and people disagree with me, but you know this business. The minute she makes money for someone, she'll be back.
Absolutely. And, you know,
even if it's at a small capacity, she'll be back.
She'll be back. And I, you know, I had this conversation with one of my girlfriends today who's in the industry. And we were saying, you know, unless you can directly give somebody or offer somebody something, nobody cares. You know, yeah. It's like everybody is always trying to get to the next thing. So I think you're right. Once she has, you know, some dollar signs above her head, people are going to be like, great.
Yeah.
You know, you're back in the game.
Yeah.
I wish her the best. I do. I think it was a bad, I think it was in poor taste, and I just think it was a, it wasn't done tactfully. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, Kathy's always been one of those people who's just said it like it is. Yeah. So, you know.
She also said it, I'm paraphrasing, but she said that she's going to be considered a legend after she dies because of this.
Right.
She's like, everyone hates me now, but when I'm gone, I'll be a legend. And I'm like, well, you know.
Fair enough.
She's entitled to that. And I think, you know, when you're in that place, you need to, someone needs to be your cheerleader. So
right.
You might as well support yourself.
Right.
So, well, I know. I just was dying to get, as a comedian, I wanted to know your thoughts, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, when it all came out, I really was, like, torn about it because I just, for me, the internet is such an intense place and so many people live behind this. Well, we can, everybody wants to talk, but nobody wants to listen, right?
Yeah.
So everybody just wanted to go absolutely bonkers about it, but nobody ever wanted to, like, sit down and talk about the real, the reason why she was doing this, right?
Right.
I just felt really, with these kind of such political strong statements where we all might be feeling it or thinking it in, to a degree, it's just the safety. People are nuts these days. You don't know what somebody could do and the way that's, you know, how convicted people are in their beliefs. I just immediately thought, like, I wouldn't have done it for the safety of my family.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
Right.
You got some crazy right wing, you know, nut job who's going to come over, you know, and she even talked about that. She was scared for her life, scared for her family. Well, then you should have thought twice. You know, a lot of times we all, you know, in the internet, in this day and age, we live behind this, like, we just say whatever we want on the internet and don't think about the consequences. I just don't, I just think it's, I would have been terrified.
Yeah.
And I just, I would never do that. I'd be afraid of what, you know, I just, it's a safety.
Right.
Thing.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Totally get
you
it.
Get it.
Yeah, we're, you know.
And just in poor taste.
Right.
There could have been such a more tactful way to get your point across in a smart way. And I think specifically with dealing with Trump, he lives for this kind of stuff, you know? It just added fuel to the fire. It didn't actually make
a liberal, the crazy liberal left. It didn't make it easier for anybody on the Hollywood, you know, soapbox.
Oh, yeah. So now everyone can say, oh, look at this crazy celebrity actress who knows nothing about it, who's out of touch with everything.
Exactly.
Just, yeah.
It delegitimizes.
It didn't get the point across. It just made her seem clinically insane.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, a week ago I was going insane. I was in Florida, and I'm going to tell this story.
Oh! You know how I feel about Florida.
Oh, I know. You especially.
Florida is where old people and dreams go to die.
Well, oof. You know, my sister lives there. I went there for PodFest. I went to Orlando. I stayed at the Wyndham on International Drive.
You call him out.
Oh, hell yeah. And
hell yeah.
I did a TripAdvisor review. I reviewed them. I tweeted them. It is no secret my thoughts on this place. So I went to PodFest. It was a really nice experience. You know, it was good. I went on a business trip. So keep that in mind. I did not spend money on this, but I was still gravely inconvenienced.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you go in and at this Wyndham, you know, they've got a nice portico chair and a lobby and it's, you know, it's fresh, clean tile. It's like, okay.
All right. Was that bad?
Yeah. So I was in for it. And, you know, in a good way, I was like, okay, this is not bad. So I'm waiting. There's one person. At this point, it was midnight. And I thought it was odd that there was no one else in this hotel, that there's only one person assisting a line full of people checking in late. So then I get up and they give me a card and you're going to do the incidentals and all that crap. So they give me a card and they send me out and they give me a map, like the size of a legal pad, like a printout map. And it's of the whole International Drive. There's no, like, it's not like the property that I was on. So it was completely useless. But they go, just go up here and you're going to cross this. And there's a bridge and then this is your building.
Wait, so you actually had to like walk out of the main lobby of the hotel
with my bags? Yeah.
No. I would have been out then. I would have been like, no, let's go to the Marriott.
Yeah. Well, and so then I'm like, okay, so it's like a campus. So that's how they get away with charging the resort fee. So there's several pools. You know, there's like a wading pool and a children's pool and a hot tub and all this stuff. But you got to go up and down these ramps and steps with the bags. That's not thought out because there's 12 different buildings on the property.
12?
Yes. And they're all from the 60s and they have little numbers on them. Yeah. And this is at night. It's not very well lit.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, I just came in from LA. I was traveling from 9 o'clock in the morning. It is now midnight on the East Coast. So I found the building, went in, and then I noticed it said like a privacy thing on the door. I said, you know what? These people aren't that bright. I bet they left it on. I said, you know, this is the room they assigned me. And if the door opens, it's my room.
Of course.
I put the key in, it turns green, I open it, and then I hear all this rustling in the room. And then I see like sheets moving. Yeah, and there are two people in the bed asleep in the room. And I'm like, you know, what the hell am I supposed to do? And they go, who is it? Who is it? And I didn't know what to say. What do you do? Like, you're just not expecting that.
Right.
When you walk into a hotel room.
You're just like, just start to, do that panic.
And you know, I had a big bag with me. I'm like, I was like, this is the room they assigned me. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, you know, so I
ran out of there.
I said, sorry, I left. Yeah, so I walked out the door, and then I heard, like, all this shuffling behind me, and I didn't look back. I just opened the door and left, and then when I left, I looked back, and they were gone. So it was strange, and it didn't hit me till afterwards. There's that Stand Your Ground law in Florida for trespassing.
What is that?
You can shoot someone if they're in your space.
Got it.
Yes. So then, like, here I am, like, entering someone's room that they paid for with a working key. There are two people are asleep. Like,
you know. Okay, I get where you're going here.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I would have been, not that I, like, carry a gun with me, but I would have been terrified, too. If you imagine, like, you know, you're just laying down, like, exhausted from doing Disney all day. And then at midnight, you got somebody coming in your room.
Well, I walked up to the lady who checked me in, and I saw a reflection of the glass. I was seething. I was so pissed. I said, I'm about to ruin this girl's life.
Right.
I slammed open the door. I said, you gave me a room. And now I want to clarify. I'm not a difficult person when it comes to things. Yes, I have a certain standard. But this was a long day. This was a business trip at a hotel that
and
was
you just
the conference.
Walked in on somebody getting freaky.
Yeah. And this was supposed to be holding a business conference. So, you know, my expectations are that of a Marriott level. I'm not expecting, you know, Four Seasons. I'm not expecting Ritz-Carlton. But, like, let's be real. Like, I need to get a room.
Can I just not get a room that's occupied? Yeah, I don't think that's a lot to ask, Grant.
Yeah. And then it's going through my mind. I'm like, wait a minute. What if this is completely sold out because of this conference?
Right.
I was like, I don't even know. So the girl was like, well, that's not my problem. You know, that was the room. And, you know, it's the computer system. I was like, where's your manager? Like, I'm not even going to bother with you.
Right.
So the night manager, probably asleep, just like came out like slow, like,
ugh, that's Florida.
I was like, can you just please help me find a room? I said, this is unacceptable. I said, it's a privacy issue. It's a security issue. More people are coming in, all fooled by the portico share, the lobby.
Right.
I'm going, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
I was so pissed. So he's like, we're going to get you a room. Don't worry. So he gave me another room. And I said, you need to show me where it is on this map.
He's like, it's 1 a.m. At this point. I am not crawling through this quote unquote campus to possibly like,
So he's like, do you want a bellman? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
They can get it. Oh, we don't have him at the moment. Can you wait? I'm like, no, I am not waiting for a bellman. I will do it myself. So they gave me, of course, the last building, the second floor.
So now that you've been dropping breadcrumbs on your way there so you can find your way back.
Yes. Right. So I'm in this last building. I had to walk through like several parking lots. You know, it's like,
no.
I was like, what is this? So we finally get to the space and I open the door. Every single light is on. Anderson Cooper 360 is on full volume. I'm not kidding. And there are handwritten notes all over the main desk with the drawers next to the TV. And so I'm like, what the hell is this?
You're like, this has got to be somebody else's. Like, exactly. You're waiting for somebody to be in the bathroom or something. You're like, clearly somebody is sitting in here doing work.
I open the closet and the drawers. I was like, are there things in here? Like, is somebody in here? Did someone stop out to get ice? Like,
right.
What is this? So I called up the guy and he said, your management. I said, so help me God, if this room belongs to somebody else that you assigned me. And you know what he said to me? He said, oh no, we gave you a room for VIPs. Do you have a VIP room? I said, this is no VIP room. This is a standard hotel room with two queen beds. You're not fooling me. The only thing that was different in that room was that the closet door was painted red. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Note to self, if you're a VIP at the Wyndham Hotel in Florida, you get a red door.
International Drive. I'm going to give her the full address.
So what did the note say on the desk? So,
it was all like addresses and room numbers. And he said, that must have just been left behind. I said, well, that's not appropriate. I said, why is the TV on blast? So then that means the room,
nobody was cleaned
it. No. So every drain in the room was sealed shut because of, you know, roaches and bugs, and it's not being used. So everything had a coat of dust. So I said, well, I need to like freshen up the pillows. If I need to sleep in here, you know, anything could nestle into these sheets. So one of the sheets had a stain. So then we moved over to the other bed and we moved the pillows out of the way and I just slept. And then I woke up the next day, left, went back to the fake lobby.
Right.
Then I forgot my ID. So I went back to the room and it stunk to high heavens of mold. You know, when you leave, you come back, yeah, it's like,
Then it registers, you're like, oh, this is fully mold.
Full mold and mildew.
Right.
So I was like, okay, we can't be doing this. So then I went back and we changed it to my third room. And they said, we're going to make it really nice. We're going to just double check that it's fine. Well, the room also smelled like mold. And then the bellman
Florida.
Yeah.
Sulfur and mold and just gator sweat.
Yeah. I mean, the buildings need to be torn down is what they need. I mean, there's a problem. So then the bellman actually did take my bag. He said, we've got a room with a beautiful view. I said, oh, please. I saw your view
on Instagram, Grant. I would have at that point like burned down the building. You know what I mean?
The view, yeah, it was a warped plastic door. You know, it was just full warped, like from 1965. Like, no, there was no view.
No.
So I was like, well, you know, we just have to make do. And I just couldn't get out of there fast enough. It was a rough. I mean, I spoke with all the managers three times.
Right.
They gave me a free meal at a place called Gatorville. Which was an experience.
So they didn't just comp your stay?
They comped one night. But again, this is, you know, the business, the company is paying for this. I'm lucky. Right. I work for a billion dollar company. I mean, it's like, you know, I shouldn't have to live like this. And again, I'm not trying to be difficult, but this was just, I told the manager, I said, this was a substandard experience. I said, I don't like how any of you handled this. I said, the rooms were not up to par. And I said, myself and my colleagues will no longer ever stay here again. I mean, I'm not staying there anyway.
Right.
So Wyndham tweeted me, was like, let's give you a different experience next time on us. I'll pass. Well, when we come back from all of this, we're going to be getting into more of a mess on what we're loving and hating in pop culture. And we're going to catch up more with Heather. I want to hear about this movie that she's in, and we're going to have plenty more laughs to come. That and more with Heather McMahon in a moment. Promotional consideration for Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk podcast is brought to you through Harry's Razors. I have to give a personal endorsement. They've changed the way that I shave, and I am not just saying this. I really do enjoy using them. I will not use the electric razor anymore. Shaving has no longer become a chore for me because of using these razors. And if you want to support the podcast, this is not just me hawking items. This really is to support the podcast. We do get a kickback from any of these purchases. So if you want to give a late Valentine's Day gift or an upcoming birthday or anniversary, check out Harry's Razors at harrys.com/grantsrants. They've stripped out any unnecessary features and any unnecessary costs that deliver customers one perfect razor for an amazing price. What more do you want? Harry's is so confident that you're going to love those blades that they're going to give them to you for free when you go to harrys.com/grantsrants. Just pay for shipping. You know this. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade. And that lubricating strip is great for getting the mustache area. I will say that's probably my new favorite part. The rich lathering shave gel and a travel blade cover. Get your free trial today when you go to harrys.com/grantsrants. You can pick up a gift for someone and support the rants at the same time. harrys.com/grantsrants.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Heather McMahon, someone who just gets it.
You know what? We have so much fun keeping it 100.
My favorite type of guests are people who just get it.
Right, because, you know, I feel like we're very observant people. Like, I'm always just kind of looking out of the corner of my eye to, like, you know, we see stuff that other people don't see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can read people real well.
Oh, honey, can I read? Yes.
read and read like, oh, that person is less than smart. You know what I mean? Like,
I can intellect. Actually just saying, like, I'm not a great reader, but I'm a great reader of people.
Okay. Well, I'm both.
I'm kidding. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Lord. I got a
degree from the University of Mississippi. Y'all know I'm smart.
I love it.
Throwing shade at myself already. Yeah. Let's get into it, Grant. Let's get into it.
What we're loving and hating. Again, this is in the past been done with the panel, but we've got plenty of content, so let's get into it.
Yeah.
So anyone who remembers the show know that we're breaking it down by pop culture moment, TV or movie, artist or song. So enough of that. What are we loving in a current pop culture moment?
What are we loving?
For me,
yes.
I changed it. I had Paris Hilton's return to the forefront.
Right.
I'm happy to see her back. But this recent Fergie national anthem.
Oh, gives me hives.
I've seen people say that it's the worst thing. I mean, is it really?
It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh. It's almost like as offensive as like when Roseanne Barr, do you remember when she did the national anthem at the Super Bowl? Yeah, and was like, really, like, whatever about it.
My grandmother mentioned that on the show. She's still not over it.
Here's the thing. With the national anthem, I understand. I'm an artist. I understand that she took a very specific, like, performance art vision, right?
Yeah, she made it sexy.
But it wasn't, it just wasn't good. Did nobody do a sound check? Did nobody check up on her to be like, hey, this is totally off? Like, she wasn't hitting notes.
Yeah.
It just didn't even make sense. It's one thing if you even want to do a different, like, a more pop version or like a, it was too, like, happy birthday, Mr. President.
It was very,
it wasn't appropriate.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, here's my thing. One thing you really don't mess with is the national anthem. Like, you can do different renditions of it, but it's just like it's almost like a respect thing. And not even that I thought she was trying to be disrespectful about it. I just think it was just awful. Did nobody in her team listen to it and go, this doesn't make sense? Like, half the, when she's singing, like, his blood strikes, right? Like, you couldn't understand what she was saying. I thought she was having a full blown, like, brain aneurysm.
Right. You know, my favorite part of the whole thing are people's reactions. Like, people are just beside themselves.
Well, the basketball players are like, I mean, what?
Yeah, who was it? Draymond Green or whoever with his mouth open.
Right.
Like, just in shock. She did acknowledge that she's a risk taker and that it didn't strike the intended tone that she hoped.
As in, it just didn't hit the notes. You loved it, Grant. No, you did not. That is BS. I'm calling you out on it. There's no way that you watched that and thought, this is great.
I loved it because it created such a controversy. Because people are so bent out of shape over this. Like, who cares? Like, there's just such a mess in the world.
No. It's the national anthem. Because
she joins an exclusive club of people who have effed that up. You know what I mean?
I guess that's a good point. But also, Beyonce was like front row for the NBA game yesterday. And I actually I'm so mad. I had tickets to go yesterday. And I was like, you know what? I've got too much on my plate. I let somebody else have them. And now I'm mad. I'd be like, this would have been Instagram gold being there and like witnessing and just feeling like the reaction of the crowd.
I know you would have been an inside source for this podcast.
I'm so sorry I messed that one up.
Ugh. Well, who would have guessed? I mean, you know. There's all this controversy about national anthem and all that. I mean, who would have guessed? But I just can't believe the reaction to this. And, you know.
Oh, I fully believe the reaction. I can't believe the artistic choice she took. And look, I'm a comedian. Yeah. I will go up on stage and I'll do weird things just to test it out. And a lot of the times it won't land. But that's all a part of, like, you know, figuring it out artistically and, like, just having your moment. But this just at no point, like, I even think about, like, her in rehearsals. How is hitting a note where you're saying, like, actually sounded like she didn't just have a vocal fry. She had like a full-blown seizure. So, no, I didn't get it.
The moral of the story, don't take a risk with the national anthem.
No.
That's what I'm getting from
Keep
you,
Keep it classy and do what you're good at.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know, can Fergie sing that well these days?
Well, the album didn't do that good.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, she held on to it for about 18 months. But, you know, I don't know.
I'm sorry, I really do not mean to get so passionate about it.
No, but that's why I love this.
I was shook to the core when I saw it.
That's why I'm loving this moment in pop culture, because it has just got people shook.
Right.
What's your moment? What are you feeling in pop culture?
Oh, gosh. I mean, let's just talk about it. Can we talk about
it?
We're going to talk about the Kardashians.
Go ahead. I'm being very lenient these days. You know, I don't talk about them.
I know you don't talk about them.
I watch the Snapchats.
But we have got to talk about, you know, one of my favorite characters to do is Kris Jenner. And I know you're anti-Kardashian, but we have got to talk about the savagery. So for those of y'all who are listening, you know that on Valentine's night, Khloe and Kim both Instagram storied and Snapchatted Kris Jenner face down, ass up, blackout, wasted, trying to do karaoke with Faye. What is it?
Faye Resnick.
And Kyle Richards. And I just live for it because, you know, they're always so like pro mom. And I love throwing my mom under the bus sometimes and just like, you know, capturing the nuttiness. But Kris was so blackout that it was like, I would have sued both of them, even as their mother, about exposing this. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thought was that Faye Resnick, the forever hanger on, literally hanging on to Kris.
Talk about social climber.
I love that. My favorite part of the video was Kris Jenner literally face down on the couch with a pillow that said blessed next to her. Like, that was my favorite moment.
Such a perfect detail that you know that just happens so organically.
Yes.
And here's the thing. The moment that really struck me is when she is so wasted and she's leaning over and she looks at Khloe and she's like, Khloe, are you recording this recorder? Like, wasted. And it reminded me, I had a flashback to when David Hasselhoff, remember, he's wasted eating the cheeseburger and he's looking at his daughter and
infamous.
He's like, are you recording it? Like, they wanted to be exposed almost. It was like a Freudian slip that they wanted to be exposed for, like, what the drunks that they are. And I've heard rumors for a long time that Kris is a big boozer, so...
I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing would surprise me with her. Mm-hmm. Just the whole thing. She's going to keep up such an act.
Right.
And there's so many of them. It's just, I did enjoy the Insta stories and the Snapchats. So I can co-sign that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, this is a big moment. But I'm giving them some credit. I just, because it makes them look so bad.
Right. I just really appreciate it that we were able to talk about this. So
yes.
Thank you for like making indulging an exception. Yes. Thank you for indulging me.
Of course. TV movie, not necessarily a TV movie, but a TV or a movie that I'm thankful for. Well, I've really enjoyed Celebrity Big Brother. I've said this before. Celebrity Big Brother UK was on and it was a total mess.
Right.
And I loved it. And I talked about it on the show a little bit. And now I'm enjoying the US version. I've been lukewarm with it for a while up until recently. I think it's a cool experiment. If they didn't have Omarosa and even Brandy, I mean, I couldn't care less.
Right.
But I haven't been able to watch a season of Big Brother that I've liked and respected the cast of in a long time. Okay. So that's what I'm giving some credit to Celebrity Big Brother International. There you go.
There you go. See, the way you feel about the Kardashians, I feel about Big Brother and Survivor. I've never been able to get on board with any of those shows. I've watched them and I just cannot. Like, there's something about it. It's so overproduced. I can't get into it.
Oh, it's terribly overproduced. Overly formatted. I mean, I can quote the voiceover of what they're going to be saying.
Yes.
The nomination ceremony. Yeah, no, I get it. And I said this to myself today. If the show comes back, when it comes back this summer, if I don't like the people, I am not going to watch it. I watch it out of loyalty, but, you know, I can't stand some of the people they've put on these shows. The last cast, I hated all of them.
I'm so surprised that Brandy just keeps, like, she's grasping at straws.
She's out of shows.
Right.
She's out of ideas, really. I mean, the last stop for her is WeTV, and she's done. That's literally the final frontier.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then it'll just be like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and retire to Rancho Cucamonga, you know?
Yeah. What are you loving in television or film?
What am I loving? Okay. So obviously we're in the thick of like the Oscars are coming up and all of that. I am loving, I'm just really excited to be seeing like the strong representation of women in films and just, you know, and I'm not even getting to the Time's Up and all that, but I just love seeing all the diversity because I think, you know, it's just such a cool moment for women and just, you know, diversity in general.
Yeah.
I actually just was, I don't know if you've seen the movie, but I was obsessed with I, Tonya. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, it's good. Margot Robbie was just killing it.
I'm just not a movie guy, but I should see it.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
I just thought that the way they did it, it actually made me sit and think about Tonya Harding and like see it from her eyes.
Right.
So the fact that you can take somebody who's kind of become like this American villain and really humanize her and do it in such a funny and brilliant way, I just thought it was great. So definitely check it out when you can.
Okay, yeah.
And Margot Robbie deserves an award. I thought she was brilliant. And Allison Janney, oh my gosh. It just was a great movie.
Yeah, I'll have to look at it. Yeah. I've heard you're one of many who have encouraged me to see it. So I have to somehow find it.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Artist or song? Anyone that you're particularly enthralled with at the moment?
Artist or song?
I'll go.
Yeah, you tell me.
I like that Dua Lipa. Have you heard her? She does new rules.
I got no rules. Yeah. I got them. Yeah.
Yeah. And she has her album is on Apple.
But what
Music,
are the rules?
Really
like
good.
One to pick up the phone. I just feel like if you're one of those females who has to sit down and actually write out a list of the rules that you're not going to do for your ex, we might need to talk to a therapist about how much we're into the ex.
Yeah.
Is the song catchy? Yes. I think she's an awesome artist, but the song itself, I find myself always like singing along to it, but I'm like, honey, maybe we need a little more self-control.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to make a list, is it gonna are you gonna stick to them really?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If you have to remind yourself that often. No, but the album actually, it's a very versatile album, and she's got some ballads and some fun songs. And
she's just a fun, like, breath of fresh air.
Yeah. And there's something about her I just connected with instantly.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the radio is primitive. Like, I mean, it's like there's like 4 songs on repeat. Ryan Seacrest is paying bills. Like, there's just not much happening. So if someone pops for me these days, like, it's a shock. So that's why I'm gonna give her some credit. You know, I'll give her some credit.
Great.
What about you, artist or song? Anything?
Artist or song that I'm just really loving. Okay, can we have a conversation real quick about? Everybody is on, like, I actually like the new Justin Timberlake album, and people feel very intense about it. And he did a song with Chris Stapleton, and Chris Stapleton's a huge country music, you know, he's in the country music scene. Being from the South, I actually don't like country music. It's just not something I listen to. And it's so funny when I come out to California or when I'm in New York and everybody's obsessed with country music and I don't get it. And they're like, you're Southern, you should be into it.
Yeah, that's not my thing.
But the song that Justin Timberlake did with Chris Stapleton on the new album, it's just beautiful. It's just gorgeous. Hmm. And I'm very pro Justin Timberlake. He is just my boy. So I love his new album. It's different. I think it's missing the note for a couple people, but it's one of those albums where you can just turn it on. It wasn't like Future Sex Love Sound where it's just every song is like pop and you feel like you're in the club and there's just like a sexy moment. These are more, you could kind of turn on the album and just like clean your house or like hang out and just listen to it.
Okay, so it's kind of easy listening.
It's easy listening. It's got a bunch of different moods and tones, but I'm just into it. I love Justin Timberlake.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. He's just not my cup of tea.
Hey,
but,
I respect
it
though.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree, Grant.
Yes, of course. Yeah. You know, I just get bored with music so easily and I feel like his music's boring to me. Like, and it's just my taste. Right. Like, I don't know. If I'm going to listen to music, I'm ready for a good time. Like, I have a playlist on. So I don't really listen to music to unwind. I don't do that.
No, I don't either, but it's funny now, you know, I'm like really big on my Spotify playlist, but like I found it at the end of the day, sometimes I actually need, like my favorite SiriusXM radio station is like chill. Like I'm actually listening to like soft house music that you might hear, you know, like a
CB2.
Yeah, is that a CB2 for sure? Because sometimes it's like, you know, with social media and everything, at the end of the day, you just want quiet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to listen to that.
Yeah, I'll put on the chill channel on the phone sometimes when I'm sitting in traffic. I'm just like, you know, I really don't want to hear anything, but I need to have something, and that's the perfect in between.
I can't listen to Selena Gomez right now. I just need a chill.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Perfect in between.
Right.
So now, enough of the positive. What are we hating in pop culture? I always love this part.
You start.
Oh, the whole handling of the Kylie baby situation. Yes, we're going back to the Kardashians. You know, it's like this girl, what is she, 20? And the video and how it was executed with the opening with her birth with Chris's face all over it. And then, you know, the other.
It was so overproduced.
Let me say this. It was so overproduced to look underproduced.
Like Jordy, her best friend, just rolling around with like her handheld camera. Okay, I laughed out loud so physically hard when at the beginning Jordan's like, you know, she's speaking directly to camera and she's saying like, this is to, you know, Kylie's daughter, right? This is Stormy. Yeah. Don't get me started there. You know, your mom and your dad. And she didn't even know what to say. She was like, she didn't know whether to say like your mom's boyfriend. Like she actually like, kind of stumbled over her words because she's like, you know, when they met, it was just like natural. Like she wanted to say they met in a nightclub. It was real quick. They went home, did it. And that's where you came
oops.
From. Right. There was a very oops moment. I'm like, Jordan, don't try and make this bigger than it is. Now, do I wish the best for them? I absolutely wish that, you know, this works out. But you're 20 years old. Come on. You're a cajillionaire. You're 20. Yeah. Let's be honest.
That's it. That's why I'm giving this a jeers because the message it sends to girls, because they keep saying in the video, Kylie always wanted to be a mom.
Be a mommy.
She's just always, like at 16, she was like, oh my God, when am I going to have
kids? You're justifying her.
So exactly. Yeah. And the message it sends on such a public level, and then the video celebrating it all, that's what I can't get behind because it is such a problem in this country. And, you know, she's got the best of everything. Yeah. Can she definitely handle having a kid? Yes. Can other people her age? 98% of those kids? No.
Right.
So I don't want to hear it.
No, I agree with that. And I felt, when they were like, oh, she just always wanted to be a mom. I mean, but look, it's also hard to talk about that because she is such in a different demographic than even like other wealthy celebrities. Like they're on a mega level. Mm-hmm. So this kid being born is already way wealthier than like half, you know, the people who have been in Hollywood forever. Yeah. I mean, well, look, you can't knock her. She's got her makeup line and all this stuff. She's already a mogul, you know, kajillionaire. But yeah, I agree. It's just trying to like, it idolizes being a teen mom, you know, glorifies it. And I feel like a lot of her fans.
It's not that she had a kid. It's not about her. It's the message and the execution and the video that I'm giving my jeers to.
I agree with you on that.
What about you? Not feeling, hating in pop culture.
Well, I was going to say the Kylie thing. I was going to say just all of it. And there's something new every damn day, Grant.
I know.
You know what I mean?
They're all pregnant.
You know what? I feel like you would have thought that Kanye would have just wanted to like do a little switcheroo to keep people on their toes. Like you'd have Saint and you'd have North and then you'd have like a Susan. Like why not have a Susan? You know what I mean?
Just throw it in there.
Susan West. Just a normal OG kind of gal. Yeah. Who like she loves.
The normal one. She's like the normal one that just like shows up and eye rolls and like we got to get out of here. I got somewhere to be. Like that's what we need in this family.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
She loves to go to Ralph's and get like the pasta salad.
Yeah.
You know, she drives a Camry. Like just does her thing.
So it's like, you know, they need the opposite. That's what they need. They need like a Teddy Mellencamp to the mess.
Oh, yes.
That's what they need. But before we can even get into all, like, we're not even talking about Beverly Hills on this show, but
Shade.
Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about TV or movie moment that I'm disliking. You're not going to agree with me, but I did not like that Super Bowl halftime show. It was boring. It was fine. It was expected, but it wasn't. It's just, I'm not a fan.
I was upset about his stylist. I understand it's like the name of his album is Man of the Woods. I thought he did a great job for it, but the outfit the whole time was kind of like pulling me away from it.
You know, someone said it was like that show with the hillbillies. What is it?
Beverly Hillbillies?
Yeah.
Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty, yeah.
And they were like,
yeah.
It's Duck Dynasty chic.
You never want to be considered Duck Dynasty chic.
Right.
Ever.
Here's the thing. I thought he was an incredible performer, and I loved like the selfie moment with the kid and, you know, all the memes going around the internet. Like, this kid doesn't even know. It's Googling who is Justin Timberlake. I wish he would have brought out some surprises. I feel
like
even when Beyonce did her thing two years ago, everybody's bringing out surprise guests. So I just kind of wish everybody wanted that NSYNC reunion moment, and I think it easily could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a little. I mean, I get like on one end, I get that's his moment, and he can do what he wants with that. That's his moment. But you know, people, if you don't think of yourself, think of the show. You know, for the audience, and people want to see more than just you.
Right.
Well, that's what they're expecting anyway, just from habit. What about you? What TV show are you hating or perhaps loving to hate right now?
Okay, are we going to talk about what I'm just obsessed with?
Yes.
Okay, it's on. Is it on A&E or
WE?
It's on WE. Wait, sorry. Okay, let's talk about Love After Lockup. It's essentially a show about people who are dating or engaged to people on the inside of prison. And where do you even start with this show? It is crazy.
I watched the most recent episode because I knew we would be discussing this. And I'm so glad. Usually I don't know the picks before.
Right.
But you emailed me and I was like, okay, good. I'm going to do all this research.
Right.
So I sat in my bed and watched the most recent episode. This girl, Andrea, is the most selfish person I've ever seen. She's got three kids. She's dragging them across the country.
My response to this is just me heavy breathing. Like when I watch the show, I just go, you know,
her kids are like two, like compared to her, they're like two geniuses. They're like, we really don't need this in our life. Like we really don't need you doing this to us. And she's like making every excuse in the book to bring this ex-con into their life, making them call him dad. And
it's
all
a
this.
Real fetish for some people. This is what I'm realizing. I tried when I watched the first couple episodes, I'm trying to figure out the psychology of it. Right. But I really do think it's like a fetish for some people to have a relationship with somebody. Cause it's not actual, it's like women or men who can't deal with rejection, right? So they're not getting any rejection from these people because these people on the inside have nothing to lose, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's got to be the ideology behind it.
And the part that gets me is she's all these women, they're all in the bridal salon trying on gowns and veils, and she comes out and she goes, oh, well, it has to be modest. I have to have sleeves. Modest? You're starting now?
Yeah, really? You, like, at what point did you just have did the morality police come
yeah,
in? Like,
yeah.
Come on.
The whole thing made
this guy's an ex-murderer, right? Was it?
He was in for robbery, right. armed robbery.
Yes, so yes. He's got a violent past, but you know what? I'm going to be modest.
The young daughter is asking, "Are you a gang member? Did you sell drugs?" And he's like, "Oh," he looks at the camera. He's like, "I don't think I could talk about this."
Okay, this was my question when I saw the first episode. I'm wondering, how does this even work out within like their parole and probation? I don't understand how legally there's got to be some deal that like production's worked out. Maybe like, well, look, you can go ahead and keep tabs on them because we're going to be filming them. I just don't know how legally that worked out.
What else? Our last category, artist or song we are currently hating. This was very easy for me. I mean, turning on the radio, that Ed Sheeran Perfect song, so boring.
So sappy.
Just so bored. Like, I'm so bored. Charlie Puth, I'm just so bored.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't. And I'm giving an honorable mention. Paris, I love that you're back, but this song, I Need You, she's going through all the national holidays.
I haven't heard the song yet.
She literally is singing the national holidays, like Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas. Well, and it's like in the order of which they appear in the calendar year. Like, I'm just disappointed. It was not what I expected.
Paris, she's brilliant for becoming a DJ. So brilliant. She just hits that, you know, that Ibiza life. But let's be honest. And I love that she, if you've ever seen her perform, she wears like fingerless gloves when she performs. You know she's not even
she's
making her
work.
Own playlist. She's got to work. Don't get cramped up.
It's all in the look.
Yeah.
Looking busy doing nothing.
Right. When's Lindsay Lohan going to come out with another single?
Well, she told people that she has a deal where she owes Universal Music a second album, but she doesn't want to step on her sister's territory.
Her sister's producing music?
Apparently she's lighting up the Billboard charts.
Except none of us have heard it.
No. So,
okay, you know what I'm hating?
Yes.
I am
no.
such
what do you
a
know?
I'm such a rap girl, right? And
oh,
I'm so into I love hip hop. But some of these artists between like Lil Pump, there's an artist now called like Lil Xan, which I'm guessing stands for Xanax. All this, like, I was actually driving the other day and there was this 21 Savage song on, and I know people are going to get like up in arms about this. And I was listening, and you know, as a woman in listening to a lot of rap music, you know, at some point I love like a song that's talking about whatever. The song was so offensive and so vile. I actually said out loud, I can't listen to this BS anymore. I got to change it.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad if I'm offended by something.
Right.
It's just getting to the point. Like there's a song like I've been popping pillies, you know, screwing girls. Yeah. I feel just like a rock star. Like I feel like my mother saying this, but I'm like, is this every kid out there is singing this song? Do we really need to send out this message?
Right.
Okay, so you're a rock star, you're popping pills, and then that I guess
they're all on drugs. All those all people, Little Peep, and all those people,
Lil Pump, he's got like tattoos all over his face, just acting like
that's another one.
Why?
The Little Peep is the one that died, I think.
Oh, right, Little Peep died.
Yeah.
Then there's Lil Pump, now there's Lil Xan. Why are we there's
enabling these
enabling
people
it.
And giving them a platform to
why
say,
are we
I
giving
know.
Them airtime?
Totally, agree.
I almost like say, whoever's running their record label, you're responsible for this.
Yep. Yeah, there's an opioid crisis in this country,
right.
And yep, you're playing a part in it.
And you're promoting somebody named Lil Xan.
One of those jackasses has a whole music video where he's just straight up doing drugs the whole video.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And I get it, like, whatever, artistic freedom. But no, at some point, as like an owner of a record label, you got to feel like a little bit responsibility.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Well, shout out to Drake with God's Plan.
Oh, my favorite.
I mean, I don't really care for the song that much, but the video was very positive and he gave the budget of the video to people. Like I
wept
Miami.
watching that music video. First of all, Drake, if you're listening to this, just want you to know I'm not single, but I could be single if you want to call me. He is flawless, perfect, gorgeous. And the reason I love Drake too is because he can do, you know, do the party, like the club songs, but then he talks about real stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where I think we're missing that moment in music. Why aren't we talking about real stuff?
Yeah.
Real problems. I thought the God's Plan video was so refreshing, and in such like a dark time, he just was like, why do we need to spend all this money on producing this music video? Let's go take the $1 million budget for a 4-minute song that's just going to be seen on YouTube. Let's go give out that money.
Yeah.
And I think he just won every gold star in my book.
Yeah, Young Money Record. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
For that. Yeah. So that was good. So we're ending on a positive note in
that
department. So.
Yes. Drake, call me here on Grant's Rants. Can't wait.
The only place, of course. The only podcast Drake listens to. Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk. Yes.
Yes.
Let's talk about you. Let's get into it. You're out here. It's pilot season.
Yeah, grinding.
What are you going out for? What can you say?
Well, I can just say like networks. I mean, I'm going out for anything and everything, as is every other blonde female with, you know, who's got a deep, raspy voice like me.
Yeah.
It's so funny going into rooms and you just see some of your other friends and we kind of look at each other. I mean, a lot of this stuff, you know, I'm in this weird space where I'm 30 and a comedian and I'm going out for roles of like 22-year-olds. And then you go in the room and you're like, okay, come on. Why are we here? Cheryl, let's be honest. I'm glad I'm in the room. I'm grateful, but let's be honest. So, you know me, Grant. I've always been a self-starter and I create my own content. So I would just love to be able to do my own show and call it a day. But man, pilot season, it's a grind. And a lot of this stuff, what people don't realize, you know, I'm still at the place in my career where I still actually have to audition for stuff. So it's, look, it keeps me humble. It keeps me hungry. And that's all I can ask for.
What is the pilot season process like? So you get a call from your manager, you go, do you submit for things? How does it work?
Yeah, you're there's so many TV shows now that pilot season used to be just like a January through like an April thing. But now that there's so many different platforms, pilot season's kind of a weird thing. A lot of the stuff goes straight to offer. So a lot of people just get straight offers from the networks. But now that there's so many different platforms that you can be on, it kind of pilot season's like a whole year thing. Mm-hmm. Now this is the meat of a lot of the stuff for the networks. So yeah, you get an audition, you go, you do your thing. And then if you get a call back, then you do a producer call back. haven't gotten those yet, working on them. But nowadays, it's kind of a crapshoot. You know, you could book something tomorrow or they could say we're shooting something in July. So it's not what it used to be. But, you know, it's crazy. I mean, Grant, you know, we've both been people who have been self-starters and put stuff out there. So I get a lot of like people sending me messages on Instagram who are like, hey, we love you. We're at CBS. Why don't you come in for this? Even though I have great representation. Yeah, you know, it's just, it's interesting what me, you know, we were talking about being cathartic about things. Like me just putting stuff out on the internet is very cathartic because if it makes me laugh, I'm like, sure, it's going to connect with somebody and make them laugh. We got to talk about like how hard life is and the real stuff. So it's just interesting how social media has kind of changed the game and being able to get your foot in the door.
That's great. Also, that must be such a great feeling to get those messages.
It is. And it just, you know? It's validation to let me know that like, you know, I'm people hear my voice and they respond to it. And that's all I can ask for. But look, I'm telling you, until I am like Reese Witherspoon and they're just, you know, I can't wait to be turning down deals. But right now I am hungry. I am blessed to be here and I'm just staying humble.
Yeah, that's great. And it's so rare. It's I think that's why we connect, because we are humble in our own ways. Well, and that's I can't with.
We'll talk a lot of smack, but yeah, we're humble.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. No, but I mean, as far as we're not like Nene Leakes out of control. You know what I mean? Like,
she used to love her. Now I'm so anti Nene.
I know.
I'm anti Team Nene, and I'm from Atlanta. I'm anti. After she started doing her bit in stand-up comedy and was screaming to people in the audience, I'm like, honey, number one rule in the book, you got to know how to handle a heckler.
Or don't do it. Mm-hmm. She shouldn't be anyway.
Yeah.
So tell me about this film at South by Southwest.
Oh, this is so exciting. So I got the pleasure. I have a very tiny role in this movie, but it was so amazing. We shot this in Atlanta. It's called Family, written, directed by Laura Steinel, who's an incredible up-and-coming female director and writer. I mean, she's just, you know, in her early 30s, just crushing it. And it was so exciting to be a part of this experience. Taylor Schilling's in it, Kate McKinnon, Matt Walsh from Veep, Alison Tolman from Fargo, Brian Tyree Henry from Atlanta. Like, I mean, the list just goes on and on. Jesse Ennis, who is on Veep, was just such a cool experience. And I told you that a lot of production's now happening in Atlanta. So it was really great to be back in my hometown and shooting this really cool movie.
Yeah.
Basically, it's about, you know, a workaholic girl, Taylor Schilling. And she's kind of forced to take care of her very awkward preteen niece for the weekend. And her niece runs away to a gathering of the Juggalos. And hilarity and craziness ensues. So we're so excited to be going to South by Southwest. So I get to spend a week in Austin, which is one of my favorite cities, and promote the movie and premiere it. So this is awesome. And I'm
good
so humbled
you.
And just I am so flattered that I got to be a part of this opportunity. And since we shot in Atlanta, I got to hang out for the whole month and really just see, you know, what it's, this is my first feature. So it was so awesome to get to learn the other side of that, you know. I've done television before, but features are a whole nother kit and caboodle because you are grinding it out, you know. So this movie's going to be incredible, and I'm so excited for everybody to see it.
Oh, what a cool place
to be at South by Southwest. There's so many big projects that are going there now because I think it's just what they're doing in Austin for this particular film festival is just really cool, and it's just grassroots, and it's like everybody's there. It's not pretentious like Sundance.
Yeah,
I feel like Sundance now is just getting so out of control, pretentious. It's like, no, we're gonna sit, grab a beer, let's sit and watch this movie and have a good time. So I'm excited to be a part of it.
Very happy for you.
Thank you so much, Grant. I appreciate it.
So you mentioned the Instagram, you know, not only about keeping up, but checking you out for a laugh. I mean, you know, what are you putting up? Where can we find you?
Well, follow me at Heather K for Kardashian. McMahon. I'm kidding. Heather K McMahon's my Instagram handle. I'm really into the Insta stories these days. I just find it such a natural way for me to be like, can you believe what's happening on a Monday at 2? I am so grateful for everybody who's been tuning in. And I love that people send me messages. I will always try and respond to your messages. So it's just been great. Instagram's been they've been so good to me. And so I feel like it's just such a natural place. You know, it's like funny. I've been running into people since I've been in town. Like, I feel like I should call you, but I already know what you're doing every day. So I just got to fit in on your Instagram story.
Yeah.
So don't worry, guys. You can still call me and ask me to hang out. You don't just have to watch my Instagram. It's been awesome.
I'm pretty active on Twitter, but I do a lot on Instagram myself, and I'm trying to like get my numbers up over there. So while you're following Heather,
I'm telling you, Grant, yes, absolutely go to Grant's Rants. And Grant, you and I met such in an organic way like four years ago. And it's people like you that I will always continue to want to work with because we just keep it real. Like, you just got to keep it real. We're all this, you know, we're all in this together. Like, we're just grinding on it together. And also keep the Instagram following organic because that's what I have done. It has taken me 4 years of just doing it very organically. And I'm so like grateful that people tune in and that they respond to what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But it's so amazing to me. A lot of times, you know, we're talking about going into auditions and people will get roles over me because they have 100,000 followers, exactly. But nobody's checking to actually see, or do they actually like, do people comment? Like, it's so obvious when you can tell when people have bought these followers.
So obvious.
I am so grateful that people have shared my comedy with other people and their friends and family. And I get messages all the time like, I found you because my grandmother follows you in Mississippi. I'm like, that is so cool. But man, some of these, let's call them an Instagram thought out there. Yeah, you may have 80,000 followers, but come on, you got 2 likes on a post. We see you, Cheryl. I don't know why I'm throwing so much shade at Cheryl today, but I don't trust her.
I know a couple Cheryls.
Well, mine's usually a Karen. It's like, really, Karen? Really? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Cheryl today, I'm just feeling the vibe.
Oh, I have a couple of those. And it's exhausting to see the amount of celebration one gives themselves when the numbers don't lie, just to say.
Exactly.
The very least.
Yes.
Well, thanks again for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Real talk. This is a real good Grant's Rants episode. We kept it real and, you know,
always.
You get it. You get it.
Honey, you get it. Thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Of course. Keep up with us. Again, follow us on Instagram at Heather K. McMahon.
Yep.
At It's Grant's Rants. And there'll be more rants to come. Keep it here on the podcast.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.